So yeah, Father's Day. I think it's appropriate not because it's just Father's Day, but because fatherhood is the only thing that's been on my mind the last, I don't know, 10 months, you know, since we found out about little Amelia, who turns 1 month tomorrow. Oh, she's already a month. Flying by. I see her with a lolly back there. That's what she's going to be calling her grandmother, Lolly. According to her, I am the best dad ever. One of these years, we should put this to a vote amongst all of us and really see who's slacking out there. No, I'm kidding. Fatherhood has been on my mind. I have been observing all of you men. I've been observing all of you men. And I've been taking cues. I've been watching closely, and there's some things that I'm very impressed with. Like, before we get into it, I think you guys need to understand where I'm coming from a little bit, and that is what I'm impressed by. Over the years, the things I'm impressed by have changed and molded and evolved. I used to really look at someone like they're awesome because of a position or title or something. And some people, that's true. They are awesome. They've achieved a lot or whatever. The thing that's really impressed me are the people who live life by what they believe. So they say they believe something, and they live life that way. Just saying it has no longer become enough in my mind, mainly because it's no longer become enough for me. I can't apply that to my life anymore. It just doesn't work. And so I'm watching you fathers, and I'm watching the moms too, but I'm close attention to the fathers. And what I love is just the things that someone notices. And I'm looking, I'm like, that is perfect. That is perfect. That guy calls himself a dad, and he just did it right there. And I love it. And I see it all the time. And I'm not going to point anyone out, put anyone up on a pedestal, but I've been watching because it's been on my mind so much lately, in preparing in how to father Amelia. I do have great examples in this body. So it's just been on my mind a lot, as it should be. And some of the things that I've been dealing with the past couple months have been coming up. I'm not a guy who typically deals, like, anxiety is not a huge struggle of mine, right? But over the past few months, I found myself having to squash it more than any other time in my life before. It's where I have to be intentional about it, something I really didn't have to think about before. I never really understood people who dealt with that. It just didn't click with me. Now it's just all the time. Yeah, it's like it's a different mode that my mind has been set into. It's been hard for me to prepare this message as well because there's a new like sea of emotion that starts to well up. And I find myself stopping for a moment and just pondering the Lord's greatness, pondering how much I love Amelia beyond what I ever thought I would. The things that Riley and I are willing to do for her. Gotta stop for a minute. Okay. It's been a great journey, and I'm really excited to see the next, I don't know, for the rest of my life. I can't stop being a dad now. It's just, yeah, I'm never not going to be a dad now. Those kind of realities set in just like that. It's like, okay, here come the tears again. Gosh. Yeah. Yeah. It'll come. So let's get into this. So at the salt mine, I wear many hats. If you work here at the salt mine, you wear many hats. That's just what we do. We go by many different titles. Someone wants to know what I do. It's the hardest thing to describe in the world, what I do. It's just, where do you want to start? It's just everything under the sun. at the salt mine, and sometimes not. It's all sorts of stuff. So many hats, and those hats do an okay job at describing one little thing that I do in a bunch of little things. And God has many different titles that he goes by, each of them giving us a picture, an image of who he is. And these images help us to understand who he is because our minds just can't comprehend the fullness of God. We just scrape the surface of it. In the New Testament, we see Jesus referring to God with many different titles. He says, he refers to him as my God, most high, God, Lord, simple, and then Lord of heaven and earth, great king, God of the living. And all these are true. They just do give us a small glimpse of a huge reality that is God. A small glimpse of a huge reality that is God. So now to my hats, the biggest one, right? I mean, and then it's covered by husband, but under that is father. And I wear that hat as one that describes who I am. If I say I am father to Amelia, you get a really good picture of my relationship with her. So we refer to God as father as well. Gives us a really good idea, or should give us a good idea of our relationship with him. Or what our relationship could be, what it should be, what's appropriate, correct? You knew in times of old when you approached the king how to act. He was the king. Certain things were allowed, certain things were not allowed. We can take it even simple. In youth group, I'm youth pastor. So certain things, the way you approach me with things, some things are allowed, other things aren't allowed. We have fun. We mess around. You throw a punch. You cross the line. You don't treat me like that, right? And so we do this all over the place in our life. And same goes for God. That word, that title, that image, Father, gives us a really good picture of our relationship with the Lord, what it's meant to be, how it should be. One of Jesus' favorite titles for the Lord was Father. In the Old Testament, it's just the Father in reference to God is just kind of sprinkled in there. We don't see it too often. And then in the New Testament, all of a sudden, start with Jesus, it's all over the place. Jesus constantly referring to God as his Father, and then telling us to refer to God as our Father too. And so then this places a whole new image. You got King, you got Lord, you have Sovereign God, and then on all that, Father. Okay, well, how does that fit into there? It's another title, another hat that describes him, gives us a great image of who he is, that we just have to add it to how we see God. And if we don't see him with all of these things, we're seeing him as incomplete. And so if we don't see God as Father as well, then we're missing something, potentially robbing ourselves of something in that relationship, but also robbing God of that too. As I'm finding that, I mean, I want to be a great father for Amelia. Man, there is something she is giving me that because I'm able to be father to her. You know, it's just like a gift that I get to do this. I understand the term, I get to sacrifice. I get to give. I thought I understood it well before. And if I look back, I say, Stephen, you knew nothing. You knew nothing. So this image of God, Father shows us a personal, intimate, loving God. I want to talk about this. When we think of Father, though, sometimes that term, that image of Father is tainted. And the image of Father as God should not be tainted by our own experiences with earthly fathers. So that's our first deal, is we start from our earthly father, and then we go to God. And so then we place automatically, when we do that, restrictions on our relationship with him. We automatically put barriers. And we all have a wide variety of experiences with our fathers. Some of us don't know our fathers. Some of us our fathers were people that you did not want to replicate their life. Some of them were really great in one area and not great in another. Some of them, they're amazing, and you love your father, and so you have and you come in with that image. But we don't, no matter what the image of our earthly father is, we don't want to go looking at God with the tainted view of our experiences with our human fathers. But our experiences with God, our heavenly father, should shape our view and understanding of what fatherhood is. Because the definition of fatherhood is found in our father, our heavenly father, not the other way around. The definition of fatherhood is found in the Lord. The definition of fatherhood is not found in my father, who's here. I love that my father's here. It's not found in any of your fathers. And so if I say father in reference to God, and automatically you get all these images because of your experiences with your father, we have to reverse those. We have to reverse them in our minds. No, the definition does not start here. It starts with God and then comes down. As starting with God, we can see how fatherhood has been done incorrectly. We can see where fatherhood, that title has been abused, misused, where it was not complete. But fatherhood is complete in our Heavenly Father. Jesus teaches us the Lord's Prayer, so we're going to turn to the Lord's Prayer. If you guys would turn with me to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, 5. Well, no, we'll jump down from that. Matthew 6, 9. And this is the Lord's Prayer. We're all familiar with it. If you come to men's prayer, you say it again and again. Every now and then we have one of the boys lead it and find out how unfamiliar they are with this prayer. I remember when I first started coming to men's prayer, and you just kind of mumble along because you're like, do I have these words right? I don't want to say too loud because I don't want people to know. And then you get it all right, you're like, okay, got it, cool. But Jesus is telling his disciples how to pray. Lord, teach us how to pray. How do we approach God? How do we request from God? What should be the posture? And he says, pray like this, our Father in heaven. We're all saying, our Father in heaven. This is how you approach him. He gives us an image of how to approach. Yes, he's king, he's mighty, but he's Father, your child. So that gives us an image of how we can approach him. Amelia can come up to me anytime she wants. I can't wait till she does. I haven't seen any of the fathers in here reject their children when they run up to them. Doesn't matter if it's a little tiny bump they got because they fell and it's really nothing. They embrace them. It doesn't matter if they're just run up to Jesus to give a quick hug, which is the best thing, and I can't wait. But they never turn away their kids. There's an intimacy there, a loving, a longing even for their children. Then he goes on with this, that statement, hallowed be your name. So yes, he is Father. Yes, we can approach him, but then we approach him understanding his holiness. So we approach him in humble reverence, not as the rebellious teenager. Hey, Pops, I'm here for my money, whatever. Hey, I'm going to do whatever. No, we approach him still in holy reverence. He is holy. He is still God. He is still Most High. He is still Lord and King. He is our Father. We can approach him. He's approachable. We can have an intimacy with him. But we approach with humility and reverence. So there's still a properness to this. I know that I was surprised when I was looking some stuff up that some people actually don't like this term Father put on God, because they have this weird idea that it somehow demeans or diminishes who he is. And I think it has to do with an incorrect understanding of just this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So we have to remember that hallowed be your name and all of this is, that is supremely important. Is he is Father, and this is how you approach your Father. This is how you do it. For those of us who have ran up to our fathers in anger and shook our fist at our fathers, he's saying, do not take your experience of your earthly father and apply it to God, because it does not work. It does not work. Hallowed be your name. This is how you approach your father. This is what the definition of fatherhood is. And see, if we reverse it, and I look at sometimes in my youth, my petty upsets with the Lord, I think, how foolish that I ever thought I could approach the Lord like that. Just as if I understood, as if I could shake my fist at him, as if I demanded some sort of respect from God. No. We approach, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Yeah. So we approach with eagerness, the boldness of a child, but all in humility and reverence. Before I move on, you're enjoyed by the Father. This was something that I just threw in there right before I printed this up. You're enjoyed by the Father. I didn't know where to put it in here. You're enjoyed by the Father. I enjoy my child. Fathers enjoy their kids, even when they're pills. They may have to calm everything down. They would never replace their child with anything, even if it meant not having to deal with those hard, harsh moments. No, I enjoy my child, and the Lord enjoys you. Enjoys you. Okay, so this is the word that the Lord's put on my heart. So I'm going to step up here because this is a word the Lord's put on my heart. Is typically Father's Day, I think of God as our Father, and we can leave here chanting, "Yes, I have a Father." Yes, and that's something to be excited about, is I have a Heavenly Father. Yes, I have a Heavenly Father. And so that begins to change your perspective and your world, and it's something to get excited about. But then every time I've done that, the Spirit has replied saying, "So live it. So live it. Live like you have a Heavenly Father." There's sometimes this disconnect between the facts of reality and us actually basing our lives off of those facts. Live it. You have a Heavenly Father, so live it. If you're going to write anything down, write that down. I mean, we do this every day with things that we know for certain, like gravity, right? Gravity. I mean, if I stood in the middle of the room and strapped myself to the floor, you came up and said, "Steven, why are you strapped to the floor?" You're like, "I just don't want to float away. I mean, look at all this open air." I mean, you walk outside and it's just up for miles. And then miles and miles. I just don't want to float away. Well, what are you talking about, Steven? You're not just going to float away? There's gravity. I mean, so we live our lives with this understanding of gravity. Amelia, the effects of gravity are on her. She does not understand it, though. She doesn't understand the consequences of not being in line with that law, gravity, right? Because I'm holding her, and she has these powerful legs, and she likes to kick off me. I'm like, "Look, if you do that too hard, and Dad's not paying attention, I mean, I'm way up here, and that's a long way down." So I hold her tight, but she doesn't really live her life according to this gravity thing yet. But we all do. And we don't look at other people like they're dumb or don't know what they're doing because they do as well. We all do. Our life is based off of this fact of reality. Reality is what is, everything that is. And so that's a fact of reality. Another fact of reality, you have a Heavenly Father as a child. You have a Heavenly Father. And so you can base your life off of that. There's certain things in your life that should be happening and other things in your life that should not be happening. There's gravity. I should not be strapping myself to the floor and fear of me floating away. There's a Heavenly Father. I should not be living as an orphan. Correct? I should not be living as an orphan. And so we have a Father, and we should live according to that fact of our reality as children of God. And so what does it look like to live with that understanding that God is our Father? What does that look like? We're going to read Matthew 6:25, and we're probably going to go to verse 33, 34, something like that, Mike. Look, I like being able to flip through my Bible very quickly. And so Riley did this for me. It was very nice of her. Thank you, Riley. Yeah. Very nice. Okay, so we're going to read through this real quick. So Jesus is talking, he says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." He says it very plainly. So why are you living as if you're fatherless when you have a father? Why are you doing this? This actually gives me a very funny image in my mind, because most mornings I just get up, quickly get ready, throw a hat on, right? The days that I do my hair, which is Sunday, because I don't know, there's some idea in my mind that I need to look presentable here on Sundays. And I know none of you care, but I do. And
yeah,
so it's no, okay. Some of you like it, but if I came in here with a hat, I don't know, maybe someone would throw a fit. I don't know. But when I do my hair, sometimes it takes me a little bit. I don't do it every single day, so it's not molded, and I got to do all this, so I'm working. I just imagine that I'm putting all this time into what I'm doing, and then this bird just lands up next to the window. And then this pops in my head. It's like, yeah, you did nothing today, and you look amazing. You did nothing, and you look amazing. And then I'm driving down the road, just looking all fresh and everything, got my Sunday best on, dressed to impress, and I'm driving down, I think I look great, and then I pass a field full of flowers. It's like, yeah, they did nothing either. They just woke up this morning. They were great. And it just reminds you of sometimes how ridiculous it is. Yeah. Sometimes how ridiculous it is that we worry and toil over such petty things when we have a father and we don't need to be doing that, you know? It's like if one of our kids came out and started doing something that was the father's role in the home. You're 5 years old. Why are you going out and trying to get a job? I need to make money for the home. I need to do this. No. Don't worry about that. You don't need to be doing that. You focus on these things, okay? I'm going to focus on these. This is my place. Okay, you have yours. You have your place as child, not as father, when it comes to this father-child relationship with God. And so we need to take that on. So God's children live differently because they have a father. There's those with father. There's those without father. Those who have come into the fold and are now children of God, and those who have yet to do that. And so we living as God's children, we get to live life as his children. It's very simple. And so our lives look differently. Sometimes, I don't know if you guys know, but here at the Salt Mine, our youth group looks different than a lot of the other youth groups, mainly because most of the kids that come don't come to church on Sundays, and their families don't either. So I have never met a lot of their parents. So sometimes I'm looking at them, and I'm like, how did you get the way you are, kid? Like, what is going on here? And then I meet the parents, and it begins to make sense. And it's like, I understand. I get a glimpse into who you are just because I know who your dad or your mom is. And there was a kid working with us this week, and I was trying to figure out how to best use him at our thrift store. So one of the questions I ask is, what do your parents do? And he told me what they do. And it helped me understand who he is. And so we, as children of God, imitate the Father. We imitate the Father. There should be things that we are doing that if pointed to, you say, that makes sense because he's your father. That clicks because he's your father. And someone comes up to you and says, who is your father? And you point to the Lord. It makes sense. It clicks. There's things that we should be doing because we are children of God. Kids, children, imitate their parents. As children of God, we should imitate our father with our life. We should imitate our father with our life. So you don't have to turn there with me, but I'm going to read 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. And it says, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you should be... wrong chapter. I was like, why does this make sense? But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Since the beginning, God is saying, you are my people, act like my people. Said that to the nation of Israel. You are my people, act like my people. I'm your God, you are my people. Act like it. Now he's saying, I am your father. Now act like my child. Be my child. There are things that you should be doing. In Matthew 5:48, and you can turn to this one, Mike. Matthew 5:48. It says, you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's just after he's saying to love your enemy. He goes through love your enemy and then he ends it with this. Be perfect as your Father is perfect. I think there's a reason why Father is used for God. It shows us, hey, we should be imitating this. Yes, God has told us that as his people, we should already be imitating him. Be holy as he is holy. But Father, even more so. This didn't even register in my mind until I was talking to Blake yesterday. He said, throughout history, sons have been doing this. Sons have been looking to their father, taking cues from them, and then living life. And oftentimes, they want to do the thing that their father does. Now, my father, Mike over here, him and my mom had an odd relationship at best. My dad wasn't in the home most of the time that I can remember. But even still, because I know him as my father, there's this desire inside of me to do the things that he has done. I know my dad as I grew up, as a guy who did concrete construction. He could build things. I always saw him at my grandparents mowing the lawn and taking care of all of that. That is now embedded inside of me. Even though my relationship with my dad was weird at best growing up, that's still inside of me to be like my dad in some way. And so we take that same example. We can be like our heavenly father. You're thinking, well, my earthly father is just garbage. Why would I want to be? That's not what I'm saying. Remember, go back. We have to reverse that. Look to the heavenly father first, then the earthly father. We do as the heavenly father does. And Jesus says this all the time. I am doing as my father does. I can do nothing more than what he does. He moves, I move. He stands still, I stand still. He speaks, I speak. And so we take that into our own lives. So how is this even possible? How is this even possible? This morning I was, I feel like I'm flying through. I'll slow down. Go to Matthew 6:33, Mike. Yeah. This morning as we were worshiping up there, a lot of times I'm playing the drums and I'm focused on what I'm doing, you know, on worshiping and stuff. But this morning, I had Riley pray for me because there's just this sudden wave of anxiety that just attacked me. So we prayed together. And then as I was worshiping up here, the Lord just said, cry out to me. So I love being behind the drums because I can without being ashamed at all. No one's going to hear me. And if they do, then it's probably because I made a mistake back there and all of a sudden I chimed out for a minute. But I'm just back there just shouting two of the songs we did, just as loud as I could. And as I did, it's just like, the Lord's like, you approach me as Father and I do my work as Father. And just lifted, just this massive weight just lifted. And I was wondering all week, how should I interpret this verse in simple terms? Because I need it in simple terms, especially to explain it to somebody else. So Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Satan, I am your father. You look at me, you treat me as your father, and guess what? I do my work as father in your life. Amen. Correct? Yeah. I do my work as father in your life. You look to me. And I was doing nothing more than being obedient, which is what children do as well. Right? All you guys are like, you want to say yes, but then you're like, well, yeah, yeah. So it says, just focus on me in the simplest terms possible there. Focus on me. Focus on me as Father. Look to me in everything, and I will come and do my mighty work in your life. I cannot imagine what it would be like, and I'm sorry that I keep using my own kid, but I don't know anything else to do. And I'm just going to point attention to her as much as I can. I don't know what it would be like if, as she's growing up, one day she just did not let me act in her life as father. I just the thought just starts to tear me apart. And fathers, just that thought does the same to you. What if my kid just wouldn't allow me to act as father in their life? What if they were just carrying around this burden that is so easy for me to lift, but they just won't let me? They just refuse to. So the Lord's saying, look to me, allow me to be father in your life. And so people should look at your life and say, why is your life so different? Well, my life is different because I'm not carrying around a bunch of weight that I shouldn't be, and because the Lord is doing work in my life that is his work to do, and that he desires to do as father. Why do you look different? Well, because I have a father and he is working in my life. Well, we're both believers here. What is going on? Well, I hate to say it, maybe you're just not allowing him and looking to him. It's like even this morning, it was just so simple. The fact that the Lord told me that I had to look to him tells me that I wasn't in that moment. Correct? There you go. That tells me that I wasn't. So it looks to me simple. I mean, I've been staring at this verse all week, and it's almost as if the Lord's like, I'm not going to allow you to get up there and speak this if you don't actually do it. And it was just such a massive weight lifted. Our focus is on the Heavenly Father, his kingdom, his ways, his righteousness. In Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 puts it safe. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love as children loved, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So imitate God. Look to God. He is our God. What else do children do? And bear with me because now I'm going to repeat myself because the experience up there just changed the way that I'm viewing everything that I kind of wrote down. What else do children of God do? Well, we run to our Father. We run to him. We run to him in every situation. Our first reaction to this life, this world, is to run to the Father who is capable. Who is capable. Which implies the understanding that we are not capable in many situations. And so we run to the one who is. There's a lot of jobs that I won't do, not because I don't want to do it, not because I don't want to get it done, but because I'm not capable. It's a simple fact. And a lot of you guys are. So you find us knocking on your doors, calling you up. Figure out, hey, I got an electrical problem over here. I need someone to fix this. I don't do electrical. Hey, I got some sort of concrete stuff over here. I'll carry the wheelbarrow, but beyond that, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. And so in life, our first reaction should be turn to the guy who is capable in your life, and that is the Father every single time. Yeah. Matthew 7:11. Someone go get me a double gulp. 7:11. I know those guys over there are like, oh, double gulp. Matthew 7:11, you can turn this to Mike. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Jesus in this passage is saying, hey, ask the Father, it'll be given to you. He's not, don't come to him in fear thinking that if you ask him, he's going to give you something else, you know, and he says a serpent. No, why would we give a serpent if someone asked for a fish? We just wouldn't do that as fathers. Even evil fathers on earth don't do that. He said, then how much more will your father, how much more does your father want to give you these gifts? Ask him, and he's there. And sometimes there's just a wall. We don't, for whatever reason, we don't want to bring whatever life is throwing at us to the foot of the Father. He's saying, do it, bring it to me. Ask me, I'm your Father, I want you to do it. And I know that a lot of people say, like, you're going to regret saying, I can't wait till she speaks. And I don't know, like, I know that people are like, oh no, you're going to enjoy, you know, you think she cries now, you're going to enjoy the silence, whatever. But I can't wait till she runs up to me and says, Dad, can I have this? Dad, what about this? And the Father gives you what you need. He gives you what you need, not necessarily what you want. So if she listens to this one day in the future, so you said, Dad, if I ran up, you'd give me everything I wanted. No. Little Amelia, I'll give you what you need. I'll give you what you need. So any other response to what the world does? Any other response is what the world does. So any other response than running to the Father is what everyone else does. And why would we do that? Children of God run to their Father. They run to their Father. This is another thing. So you got two is we imitate our Father. We run to our Father. And then we understand our value because of our Father. I think this is huge. We understand our value because of our Father. Our Father continually speaks and reminds us in his speech and actions of our value. And I've seen it in some of you men. Speak to your children and remind them of their value, saying, I love you. You're amazing. You're great. And you remind that, and you begin reminding them of their value. As father, I take that seriously too. I'm going to remind Amelia of her value. Tell her exactly who she is, how loved she is by all of her family, but also a heavenly father. We're reminded by our value. And you think about this, I mean, the creator of this universe, our Father, gave up the biggest, he gave up everything he could, his son, for us, so that his children could have access to him, so that we could be his children. That just places a stamp of value on you. And even though I may look at the lilies, or I may look at the bird who lands there, there may be a humorous moment in that, I can still look back and say, how much more valuable am I than those lilies and those birds to the Father? He's going to take care of me even more so. Even more so. So I'm going to wrap it up now. Everything got kind of mixed around. Sorry, no. So there is an invitation to all of us. First, to children of God, those who proclaim to be his children, live like it. Live like it. It's that simple. Live like it. And I didn't explore an extensive view of what that is, because you have scripture right here, and I just told you that Jesus uses that word Father all the time. Go through and read it. But live like it. And I really challenge us to do that. I've been really challenged this week. It's like one of the things, I know that when I get up here and speak, the Lord's going to challenge me that week to do exactly what he is wanting to speak through me. And then to those who aren't in the fold, who haven't accepted Christ as Savior, who don't call God Father, the invitation is there. So you do not have to roam this world in fear as an orphan. You could be adopted into this family and have a heavenly father, regardless of what your earthly father looks like. You get a heavenly father, and then you can live like it. You can live like it. Amen? I'm going to close up in prayer. Worship team's going to come up, and then if those two invitations, you need prayer at the end, come on up. Eric's going to invite you to do that. So let's wrap up in prayer. Father, thank you for this morning that we get, this whole day to celebrate fathers. We thank you, Father, for being our Heavenly Father, for showing us you through that light of you are Father. So, Lord, we come to you with all of life's problems. We focus solely on you, Father, and we allow you to be Father in our life and to do your mighty work in our life. So we thank you and we praise you this morning as we continue to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.